Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Go to Psalm 34, please, the 34th Psalm. And we're continuing. We took a little side trip last Sunday, but apparently it was needed, right? You hear these testimonies. And if you weren't with us, and you say, well, what are you talking about, Brother Keith? We talked about fighting the good faith fight, and we talked about faith and medicine. So, you know, making decisions in these areas. And so if you didn't hear it, it could benefit you. Go to faithlife.org and the Word Supply. All these things are there, no charge, no cost. And so we interrupted our regular programming to bring you that message. And I believe it was at the direction of the Lord. But we're back to this now. A series that we're calling The Fear of the Lord. The Fear of the Lord. I don't know how much teaching you've heard on the fear of the Lord. But I can see in many areas it's a lacking area. And it's a big thing in the Word. It's not something we need to be ignorant of. In Psalm 34, he said, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps round about who? Them are those who fear the Lord. Does the angel and delivers them. Does the angel of the Lord encamp around about everybody on planet Earth to deliver them? No. It would be unnecessary to say this if they did. No. Who do they encamp round about to deliver them? Those who fear the Lord. And then in verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Does everybody trust in the Lord? No, you got millions that don't believe in God at all. And you got millions that believe in false gods. But then verse 9, what does he say again? I read this passage because, you know, he keeps repeating this thought. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. Is this an admonition we should heed? Yes. Well, if you don't know what the fear of the Lord is, how are you going to do it? How do you know if you're doing it or not? Yes. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is what? No want to them that fear Him. We've already seen there's divine protection to those that fear the Lord. Now we see there's no want to them that fear Him. I mean, just these two benefits alone would be worth you and I spending some time here to find out what this is. Make sure that that's what we're doing. There is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. That's the strongest of the strong. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And so when we began this series, we all prayed the prayer together. Lord, teach us the fear of the Lord. And that's what we've been believing for ever since. And so we always have new people that are joining us every time. So let's say it again. Oh Lord,
teach us.
And teach us more.
And teach us more.
Of the fear of the Lord.
Of the fear of the Lord.
Amen. Teach us. So that's what we're doing. We're looking to Him to reveal what this is and how to do it and how to grow in it. Now, in, let's see, Proverbs, the first chapter, put that on the screen for us, please. Sometimes you'll learn things about what something is by finding out what it's not. And in Proverbs 1 and 7, you see that. It said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, you'll find other references to this in Proverbs and in the Psalms and in Job. You'll find multiple references to the fear of the Lord in the New Testament. And what he's saying here, part of it is this. You won't begin to know the reality of God and the things that matter unless and until you show some respect for God. It didn't matter what kind of genius the world might imagine that you are. The things that matter, eternal truth, things that are right, things that are God, you won't see them. You won't understand them. That's why to unbelievers, the things of God seem like foolishness.
Yes.
And it's not because they are. It's because those folks are spiritually unable to see or hear. Why? Because where does this knowledge start? Where does it begin? With some fear of the Lord. Now, fear of the Lord means fear. If you're on the wrong side of God. Thank God we're not. But it also includes honor. It includes respect. It includes reverence. It includes how you value the things of God. They should be precious to you. And you can tell whether they are or not by how people talk about them and how they act around them. And so he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And here we see the contrast. But fools do what?
Despise
it. Now this is someone who has no fear of God.
Yes.
What will they do with the knowledge of God and the things of God? They despise them. They despise wisdom and instruction that comes from God. In Proverbs 13:13 says, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. You know, the biggest choice of your, not just life, your existence, is what you or I do in response to what God has said. Our response to God's words determines what kind of life we have now and determines our eternity. To receive God's words and value them and respect them, treasure them, meditate on them, do them, it'll prosper you in this life. And it will cause you to be seen as valuable to Him. To despise includes a wider spectrum than a lot of people think with modern vernacular. What do you mean? A lot of people hear the word despise and they only think of detest. To detest something. And that is despising. But simply ignoring something is also despising. Because it's treating it like it doesn't matter. That is a degree of despising. He said, whoever despises the word, what will happen with them? Well, unless they repent and unless they change, not could be, shall be destroyed. It's one of the saddest things there is, but it's happening. And you can tell where people are and what caliber of people they are and where they're headed by how they react and respond to God, His words, His people, His things. People that just blow it off, people that even cuss and make remarks about it, they're headed for destruction. It's sad. Don't get mad about it. is sad, mm-hmm. where they're going and where they're headed. They can change. They can repent. As long as there's breath, there's hope.
Amen.
But somebody who's saved and right with God will not belittle the Word of God.
That's right.
They will not speak lightly, certainly not derogatorily, of Jesus. Huh? No way, no how. Hmm? That's why we don't use the Lord's name in vain. Huh? That includes, oh my God. Are y'all with me? What do you mean in vain? It means you're not, if you're talking about God, you're talking about Jesus, you need to either be talking to them or about them. Otherwise, you're using the name for no reason. Vanity, some kind of an exclamation. Don't do it. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Right? And see, can you see, it reveals a lack of the fear of God. You're treating it like it's nothing. Like it doesn't matter. And so he said, whoever despises the word shall be destroyed. But he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. Huh? People don't understand why we make such a big deal out of the Word of God. It's because they're in the dark that they don't understand it. You should make a big deal. Right? It's because of the preaching of the gospel that you and I are not going to hell. Oh, hallelujah. It's because of the Word of God that we get answers to issues in life. And we get delivered from people's goofy opinions. Huh? And then the deception and the darkness that encompasses most of the world. And we walk in the light and we get free. How? We found out about it through the Word. Amen. Through the Word.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I know when Phyllis and I left our home in the deep south in the early 80s, some of our friends just did not understand why we would go to conferences. And we would get there at 6:30 in the morning and stand in line for hours.
Amen.
To be able to get a seat close to the front.
Right.
And we'd have our friends just scoff and go, what? Church? What are you doing? We spent money to get cassette tapes.
Yes.
With preaching.
Yes.
And they're like, you could have bought a music tape.
Yeah.
Instead, you know, a secular music tape. You could have. They just did not see and understand. But it has paid off.
Hallelujah.
I said, it has paid off.
Yes.
God has prospered us.
Amen.
And blessed us and helped us. Why? We value His things, honor His things. What's the next part of that verse? Them that honor me, I will honor. So put up on the screen this 1 Samuel 2 again. 1 Samuel 2 and 30 is where this these words come from. 1 Samuel 2:30, the latter part of the verse. He said, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that what?
Despise.
There's that word again. Despise me shall be lightly esteemed. One translation says, they that despise me will be despised. It's the same kind of thing. Treating lightly. You treat God and His things like they're nothing. Like you can take them, you can leave them, they don't matter. You will be treated like you don't matter. And your things will be treated like they don't matter. Now some folks don't like the sound of that, but did I write this? And you will see it. Somebody said, yeah, but Brother Keith, that's Old Testament, you know. Things have changed. How about let's go to the book of Acts? Are y'all with me? Come on to the book of Acts. Now that's in the New Testament, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh? Last time I checked.
Yeah.
It was in the, go to Acts, the 4th chapter. Acts chapter 4. The Lord will treat you in your things the way you treat Him and His things. And there is nothing that could be more fair than that. Right? If you think, well, I don't like that. Well, then start treating His things better. Right? That's easily fixed. But everybody being treated equally is not fair.
Amen.
Equal share isn't fair.
Amen.
Y'all with me or not? What do you mean? Well, it's not right for some people to be obedient and love God with all their heart, and then people that scoff God and blaspheme, and they get the same thing. How is that fair? It's not fair. And God is fair. I said He is fair. And what is completely fair is Him treating you the way you treat Him. That's fair. And so in the book of Acts, these are the first days of the church, the New Testament church. Same church you and I are part of. We got the same Jesus, same Holy Spirit, same gospel.
Yes, sir.
Somebody say same church.
Same church.
Well, one thing you'll see is that there's multiple references to them being filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, if you're filled with the Spirit, there is the speaking with tongues, but that's not all there is to it. Being filled with the Spirit is being full of God.
Amen.
If you're full of God, you're full of love.
Yes.
You're full of joy. You're full of peace. You're full of wisdom.
Yes.
And one of the effects that you see of them being full of the Spirit was great generosity. They were such givers. And if you look in the fourth chapter and the latter part of the fourth chapter, it says, verse 32, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. They had all things common or together. And that with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Now this is a church of thousands. They had 3,000 people saved on the day of Pentecost. The Bible said there was another 5,000 saved not long after that, and the Lord was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. This is a church of 10,000 plus, easy. And in a couple of chapters later, it must have been scores of thousands. And yet you couldn't find one among these thousands that had any lack.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And He tells us that involved in it was as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. And Joses, who was by the apostles named Barnabas, being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, he had land and sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, you got to remind yourself of the atmosphere here in the beginning days of the church. This thing was kicked off with everybody being filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost to the point that they were acting like drunk people. And when they stumbled out from the upper room, all of them speaking in tongues and languages that they didn't know, visitors from all these various countries, because it was a special time in the city, heard them in their languages. And it was a sign. So this thing is kicked off by signs.
Yes.
And wonders.
Yes.
And moving of the Holy Spirit. And you'll find that the Bible said, verse 33, we just got through reading, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. And we didn't read it, but back in verse 29 and 30, they had just had a prayer meeting where the building shook from the power of God. And do you believe these things? And so they you talk about being in the midst of a move of God. They are. And there is this great generosity. Now, you know, it doesn't matter what century you're in. A house is a house. And land is land. Is that right? And selling your property and selling a house or property and bringing the money and putting it into the church to be distributed and helping people, that's a big deal. And the thing is, nobody is making them do this. This is nobody's requiring this. This is completely free will. And this wasn't written in chapter and verse, so read the next verse. Chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your own power? So here you can see that nobody was making anybody do these things. You know, some people will take some of these verses. They had all things common. Nobody said that the things they had were their own. And they try to make that a justification for socialism or communism. Yeah, everybody was equal. No, now you're saying things that he didn't say.
Right.
And what then they want to do is they want to develop government and laws that take it from people who have it and distribute it to the people they think should have it. And somehow or another, after years, it never left them. That's the way it has happened over and over and over again. This was not the people being taxed. It was not the people being made to do it by the government or by the church leadership. It was completely Holy Spirit directed. Come on, can you see this? Which is the only way to do this right. And so Ananias comes in. He and Sapphira had a property. And they sold it. And we just got through reading that Barnabas had sold that property and brought it. And these two are linked together. But when they sold it for a great price, it was just too much money to give to the church. So they just took a part of it and said, we'll do that. Which would have been fine. Except they want to stand up in front of the church and bold faced lie and say this is 100%. Now what are we talking about? What's our series? Huh? Why would you do something like this? No fear. Come on, can you see this? No fear of God. And so I am sure that when Ananias came in and he's got his money and he said, you know, boy, we sold a property too. And we're bringing all the money to give to the church and help the people. And when Peter looked at him and said, why did you lie? I think he was shocked. He was shocked. Now let's just, Peter asked the question, why? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Do you ever have lying in church? Should you?
No.
You should never have lying in church. And yet, here he is. And who impressed upon him to do this? Satan. Is that right?
Yes.
Satan. Satan works on people before they come to church. While they're in church. When they leave church. He's a sorry cuss. But he's the one that brought him the idea. Well, you don't have to give all the money. Just say you did. And just give a part of it. And then you got the money and the recognition too. Oh, come on. Are y'all with me? See, the Holy Spirit prompted Peter to say, why? Why did you do this? Why? There was no reason to do this. Nobody told you you had to sell your property. And when you sold it, nobody told you you had to give all of it. You could give 3%. You could give none. Nobody told you what you had to do. Why did you do this? Two of the big reasons why people lie is pride and fear. These are two of the big ones. Now, ain't no need in sticking your nose up and acting all sanctimonious. It'd be hard to find a person in this room who had never told a lie. Now, that ain't good. I said, that's not good. But it's because this whole world we live in is oppressed by what the Spirit in Ephesians calls the spirit of disobedience. And the God of this world is the author of lying. He's the father of lying. And that's why this world is so full of falseness and phoniness and deception and partial truths and outright lies and deception. Because that is the enemy's biggest tool and weapon that he uses in Revelation. When it comes time to end his stuff, it says that he was the devil that deceived the whole world. Deceived the whole world. One thing you got to know about the Lord. He hates lying. I didn't say liars. Lying. Are y'all with me? Proverbs says that lying lips are an abomination to him. That was Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. God delights when you tell the truth. When you're honest. But he abhors when you lie. Nobody ever had to lie. No, you didn't. Nobody ever has to. It's a choice. Listen to the Amplified. This is Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are extremely disgusting and hateful to the Lord. But they who deal faithfully are his delight. Huh? Somebody say, the Lord loves the truth.
The Lord loves the truth.
So I love the truth.
So I love the truth.
The Lord hates lying.
The Lord hates lying.
So I hate lying too.
I hate lying too.
Come on, decree it and say it. I am not a liar.
I am not a liar.
I am not a deceiver.
I am not a deceiver.
I tell the truth.
I tell the truth.
When something comes up and you have to answer or respond. Huh? I've heard people say, well, don't make me lie. Ain't nobody making you lie. I'll have to lie. No. You got two options.
Yes.
Say nothing.
Nothing.
Huh?
Or
tell the truth.
Yes.
As a real Christian.
Yes.
That's the only choice you got.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
Y'all with me on this?
Yes.
If you agree with this and let this be an anchor in your soul and heart, this will change your life.
Yes.
This will turn you into somebody people can trust. What's my options? Help me out.
Say nothing.
Or what?
Tell the truth.
That's it. Now here Ananias and Sapphira, they go stand up in front of the church and tell a big lie. And Peter, the first thing Peter says, why? Why'd you do this? So let's try to answer that question. Why did they do it? Pride. We said two of the big reasons why people lie is what? Pride and fear. So why did they do it?
Pride.
It wasn't fear.
Pride.
It was nothing to be afraid of for them.
Right.
Nobody's pushing them, trying to make them sell that property. So where's the pride come in? The scripture talks about don't be conformed to this world. And 1 John talks about the things that are in the world, the lust and longing of the eyes and the lust and longing of the flesh and the pride of life. One translation says the ostentatiousness or the showiness.
Showiness.
See? Why is this? See, this wasn't written in chapter and verse. So he just got through telling you about Barnabas. Mm-hmm. That there were several people that had sold houses and lands and brought the money. And it tells us one and gave us some detail about him. It was Barnabas. He had a property. And he sold it. And he brought all of it and laid it down and said, hey, use this to help the church and the people. Well, why bring that up? Why put that in the scriptures? Everybody knew it in the church there. And everybody respected it. They respected the sacrifice, right? They respected the love and the faith and the heart. And Ananias and Sapphira were probably in the service when it happened. Huh? And they're looking at him going, well. And then after the service, everybody talking about Barnabas and what he did when they went to eat at the cafeteria, wherever. And they're talking about, say, man, did you hear? Isn't that something? Barnabas, he had 300 acres over there in Cyprus and he sold it. You hear how much he got for it? Man, he got, and he brought it all to the church and just laid it out. They wanted the acclaim. They wanted the recognition. But they didn't have the heart to do what he had done. So they want the recognition and keep the money too. Didn't Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's why people get so mad about money.
Yes.
You start talking about money, ooh, they get huffy and mad. Not faith-like people.
No.
We know better. But people, that's why they do. Why? Because it's showing them up. They're not willing to give like this. They're not willing to tithe or anything. They just, you know, they care more about the money than they do the church and the gospel and these things. And they don't want to look at that. They don't want to acknowledge that. But their treasure is more their money than God and things. But they think the enemy brings them an idea. You can have both. All you got to do is lie. Just a little lie. Ain't no such thing as right. Said a certain man named Ananias, chapter 5, verse 1, Sapphira's wife sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife being privy to it, brought a certain part, laid it at the apostles' feet. And now he's ready for their accolades, their recognition. He's ready. And Peter said, Ananias? And I'm sure he's thinking, oh boy, he's going to really pour it, you know, pour the praise on me now in front of everybody. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Keep back part of the price of the land. While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, you lied to God. And Ananias, when those words finished bouncing off of his eardrums, his heart stopped. And he fell down dead. Right there. In front of church, in front of everybody. Hearing these words, he fell down, gave up the ghost. That means his spirit left his body. And when your spirit leaves your body's going to fall in a heap on the ground. There's no life in it anymore. And what happened after that? Verse 5, are y'all there?
Yes.
Huh? Then there was a new revelation of the fear of God. Without anybody teaching on a series.
Come on.
Is that right? And it wasn't just a little fear. It was great fear. What do you mean? There's 10, 20,000 people in this church. And everybody to a man, woman, and child said, I ain't doing that. I am not doing that. My lying days are over. Great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up. Did you know lying will wind you up? Wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. Didn't tell any of his kinfolks. No funeral. No visitation. No graveside service. I mean, no relatives got to pick out the casket. They scooped his body up, took him straight to the graveyard, and buried him. Now, if you're hearing this and you're thinking, that just seems too hard to me, then you lack the fear of God. Because you think you know better than he does. You think you're more merciful than he is. Which means you seriously lack the fear of the Lord. One of the reasons people do things is because in most cases, judgment is not immediate. And because of that, people, you know, they seem to get by with it for some length of time. But God does things as examples that should be a warning to everybody else for every successive generation. And this is one of those. I mean, I don't care where you are, anywhere a Bible has ever been, throughout the world in any tongue, language, you just say, Ananias and Sapphira. And what do they know? Ooh, lied. They lied and fell dead. Well, see, then this is very effective. Right? I said, this is very, very effective. You and I are still talking about it all these centuries later. And even when we talk about it today, it's not like a little nothing story. Huh? It's the anointed word of God. And we see the seriousness of it. And here's the thing. It's still this way today, but God is so gracious and so merciful, He's not making examples out of everybody.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
But if you had any fear of the Lord, you would read this and go, I ain't doing that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I am not doing this. Because God hasn't changed. This, what we're reading about, is during the age of grace.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Book of Acts. Is after the resurrection of Jesus.
Yes.
They're preaching the same gospel we are.
Yes.
Are we supposed to be preaching the same one they did, I should say. But when Peter looked at him and said, why? Why did you do this? We answered one of the reasons.
Yes.
We said pride. Right? Showing off. What was the other big reason? It's because, fear is the reason why people lie, but I'm talking about why he did this, why he and his wife did this. Number one was pride. Number two, they thought nobody would know. They were convinced nobody would know. Because it's just them two that know how much, you know, and how much they kept and how much they didn't. And so they are convinced they can keep this secret. And nobody will know. And I mean, Ananias hadn't set the money back down good till Peter looked at him and said, you lied to God. So, a lack of the fear of the Lord is revealed when people act like God doesn't know. They act like God doesn't see. God doesn't hear. And so, in their mind, and they think everybody else is as spiritually dull as they are. And that nobody will know. But they didn't realize Peter and these folks, they know God. They hear from God. And he knew this by a manifestation of the Spirit, by a word of knowledge. He knew it when he laid eyes on Ananias. Huh? He didn't go through a bunch of examination and we got to find the receipts and we got to see if this is right or not. He just looks at him and goes, you lied. Not analysis, not reasoning, not rationalization, not process of elimination. Knowing. Holy Spirit knowing.
Yes.
Word of knowledge.
Yes.
And so one of the grievous things that happened here is that this thing that these people were doing is holy. They are taking properties might have been in the family for three generations. They're taking houses and that they maybe worked hard to get or any number of things, and they are honoring God with the biggest and the best that they have, and they're not doing it to be seen. They're not doing it to gain some place or position. And by Ananias and Sapphira standing up and lying about this, they are mocking.
Yes. Yes.
Can you see this?
Yes.
They're making a mockery. Acting like they're doing what these people did, when instead of a heart full of love, they got a heart full of deception.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why judgment was so swift and so severe. God wanted everybody that would ever read the Bible from then on to know, you don't do this.
Amen.
You do not stand up and mock the holy things of God in the middle of God moving and signs and wonders and manifestations. You don't do it. No fear of God. They weren't afraid to lie in front of the church, lie to Peter. The Bible said that about 3 hours later, Sapphira comes in. I always wondered about that. Why is she so late? I mean, our services don't last 3 hours. Maybe we need to extend. But I don't know. He's already come and made the presentation. And she strolls in 3 hours later. Not knowing what was done. Somebody was saying maybe she had that money and had bought clothes and new stuff and had a hard time getting ready to pick it. I don't know. But the Bible didn't say that. She didn't know what had happened. No cell phones. No texting. No emails back then. And fear of God. People just kept their mouth shut. And she came in not knowing what was done. And Peter looked at her. He said, tell me whether you sold the land for X amount price, X amount of money. She didn't know it, but her answer is going to determine whether she continues to breathe or not.
Yes.
Remember we said earlier, what happens in your life here and eternity is based on your and my response to God's words. Whether we respect them or whether we don't. Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Now, especially if she's a believer, she's got a conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yes.
What's her conscience telling her right now? You're up here in front of the church. The man of God's asking you a specific question. Right? What's your conscience telling you? You got to override your conscience. You got to suppress and push down your conscience to be dishonest. And so she said, oh yeah, yeah, that's the exact amount. Now, let's pause for a moment. What was Ananias and Sapphira's grave mistake? Lying.
Yes.
Don't raise your hand, but have you ever told a lie? Well, don't throw any rocks. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Just be thankful for the mercy of God. Is that right? And grace.
Hallelujah.
But how many think it's a really good idea? Let's be done with the lying.
That's right.
Huh?
Yes.
Let's have some fear of God. He said, how much? And she said, yeah, that's the amount. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt, and that word can also be translated test. To test the Spirit of God. They were testing whether God was real or not. They were testing whether these were people, Peter and those with him, actually knew God and heard from God. They were testing whether God's real or not. Found out the hard way. Testing the Spirit of the Lord. Behold, the feet of them which have buried. They already buried him. Your husband are at the door. They just got back to the church. Now that's pretty quick. 3 hours. Took him out, buried him, and got back. Now let's just stop. Those that honor me, I will honor. Is this an honor burial? No, it's not. I mean, this is burying something like you'd bury a sack of something. I mean, it's, right? Just haul it out, bury it, come back. Can you see the scripture we've been talking about? Those that honor me, right? I will honor. Those who despise me will be treated like nothing. That's exactly what happened to them. Even though they were part of a New Testament church in the age of grace.
Yes.
Mm. Again, if you don't like this, if you say, well, I disagree, that's too extreme, that's too hard, or I don't even believe it. All that means is you don't fear God. You don't believe He's real. Or you don't believe He's all wise. Or that He's all fair. All just.
Yes.
It's a choice every one of us has to make.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
It's a choice you got to make. What you believe. What you don't. So he said, the ones that buried your husband, they're at the door. They just got back. And they're going to carry you out. And she fell down straightway immediately at his feet and yielded up the spirit. Same thing had happened to her husband. When she heard those words, her heart stopped. She died. Spirit left her body. Now that doesn't necessarily mean she was lost. No. Because if she was born again before, she was born again. Can born again people do stupid stuff?
Yes.
Oh yeah. No need raising your hand. And she fell down immediately, yielded up the spirit, and the young men came in and they thought, oh man, another one. They're still sweaty from the last one. So they picked her up, hauled her out. Buried her beside her husband. No funeral. No graveside service. No singing. No slide presentation. Treated like they're unimportant.
Yes.
Why? Because they stood up and mocked the holy things of God. And acted like they were nothing. Like Peter was nothing. Like the people's holy gifts were nothing. And so they were made an example of.
Yes.
In the New Testament time. Now notice what's connected to this. Verse 11. And what?
Great fear.
Great fear came upon all the church. And upon as many as heard these things. These are people outside the church. Everybody knew about Ananias and Sapphira for 12 counties around. Everybody knew. And verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were what?
Many signs.
Many signs and wonders wrought among the people. This is the same. This is the environment where you see signs and wonders. Where people are no longer wrestling with believing in the supernatural. They saw it. They've been around it. They know it. They believe it. And when one thing happens, and then another happens, and another happens. This is the environment for miracles, signs, wonders. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Keep going. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them. Nobody just joined to be joining. But the people magnified them. What does that mean? You'd come to unbelievers and you'd say, are you part of the great Church of Jesus here at Jerusalem? And they'd say, no, but they're great folks. They're great. They're great people. We like them a lot. I'm doing business with some of them right now. Fear of the Lord.
Yes.
Come on, can you see this?
Yes.
The fear, respect.
Come on.
Now, we live in a time and a generation where there is gross disrespect.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
For God, for His things.
Yes.
And that only goes so far. And then things change. And as we're running out of time before the Lord comes, you'll see more signs and more wonders.
Yes.
And it'll even include judgment signs as well. And it's a time for you and I to draw near.
Amen.
To the Lord. And regardless of what the how the world acts, to show a regard and a respect and an honor for the things of God. Do you agree?
Yes.
Let me read this to you from the Psalms, and we'll close with this, I think. Go with me to the book of Psalms. Is this okay?
Yes.
Is it New Testament?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Psalm 94. Psalm 94 and verse 3. Psalm 94, 3 says, Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. And yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Now see, that's exactly what Ananias and Sapphira thought, which is totally ungodly thinking. They thought nobody will know. Nobody will find out. Well, who's the most important one to know? The Lord. Right? Keep reading. They say the Lord will not see, neither will the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, you brutish among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? The inventor of the ear. The creator of the ear can certainly hear. He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Somebody say, God hears. God sees. God knows. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastises the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teaches man knowledge, shall not he know? It is a brutish, fool thing to act like nobody will know. Nobody will ever find out. And that's one of the enemy's lines. Have you ever heard it before? He try to tempt you to do something, and you go, man, I can't do that. Yeah, but nobody will know. Nobody will ever know. How are you going to keep God from knowing? Well, if God knows, it's out. Is that right? If God knows, and of course, he could tell anybody he wants to tell. How are you going to control that? Oh, boy. Go to Psalm 139. I started to tell a story, but I think maybe I won't. I'll hold on to that. Psalm 139. You know, sometimes people think, I don't know, well, same thing like what Ananias thought, but they believe people are spiritual, but then somehow they think they won't know. And Psalm 139, Psalm 139, verse 1. He says, O God, you have searched me and known me. You know my down sitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. He sees your thought coming before you think it. How are you ever going to hide anything from him? He knows when you sit down. He knows when you stand up. He knows the number of hairs on your head. That's astounding to me. That a God who has created a universe as vast as this and would still bother to keep up with such things. But he has the ability to track the tiniest and the biggest.
Hallelujah.
And not run out of memory space, whatever it is. You compass my path. That's you encircle my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it all together. He saw your thought on its way to you. Or when you were formulating to think it. He saw the word before you said it.
That's
right. Yes. Keep going. You beset me behind and before, and you got your head, your hand on me. You behind me, you in front of me, and you on me at the same time. He said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't grasp. How can you be there and there and here at the same time? Keep going. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? Ask Jonah. That's what the Bible said. He fled from the presence of the Lord. That's what he did. How'd he come out? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. That doesn't mean he's in the same degree of manifestation, but he's there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, I get the fastest jet there is, and I leave early, and I go to the most remote place on the planet, and I hide behind the big palm tree. God will say, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing out here? Even there, your hand will lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, well, I'm going to hide in the dark, surely the darkness will cover me. God can't see me in the dark. Are you joking? God doesn't carry a flashlight. You know why? He is light. When he gets there, it ain't dark. Oh, come on, can you see it? Surely the darkness will cover me. Even the night will light up around me. The darkness can't hide from you. The night shines like the day. The darkness and the light are alike to you. You can't, say it out loud, you can't hide from God. Those who have a proper fear of the Lord live with this awareness. Right? Everywhere you are, everything you think, everything you say, if you have a proper fear of the Lord, you realize He already knows. He already sees. And one of the greatest things you can ever do is to live with a consciousness that I am living before the Lord. Huh? I'm living before Him. You know, I know sometimes people that I've been with, if we're traveling or doing this and that, I might just in the middle of something, I say, just a minute, and I'll start talking to the Lord. Yes. And I'll pray a prayer right there. Why? Because He's right here in the car.
Right here.
He's right here.
That's it.
Is that right?
That's it.
No matter where you are or what's going on, a fear of the Lord includes an enlightened awareness and consciousness that God knows every, He knows every thought, every intent, every word. And here's the great thing, and still loves me. Still loves me enough to pay Jesus' blood to get me. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Stand up and lift your hands.